This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. The best-selling poet in America today is a 13th century Sufi mystic known as Rumi. His poetry was embraced by Ralph Waldo Emerson. 100 years later, he was popularized by Robert Bly's men's movement. Madonna has recorded one of his poems. Rumi also is the most popular poet in Afghanistan. Translator Coleman Barks calls him the Shakespeare of Afghanistan. NPR's Renee Montaigne spoke with Barks about the poet.
Rumi was born Jalaluddin Muhammad Balkhi in Afghanistan before it was Afghanistan in the year 12,007. The nearest big city was one Americans will recognize now from the latest news, Mazar-e-Sharif. By the time he was a teenager, Jalaluddin had become a refugee, fleeing the invading armies of Genghis Khan all the way to Turkey. There, he experienced a mystical awakening that transformed him into the poet known as Rumi. Himself a poet, Coleman Barks offers a creative rendering of the work in English.
Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there's a field. I'll meet you there. When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about ideas, language. Even the phrase each other doesn't make any sense. Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. Isn't that a comfort? There's
yes.
A place beyond all these judgments and bombings and things.
In Afghanistan, even those who can't read can recite Rumi's poetry by heart. Rumi's poetry shifts from pastoral to passionate. It includes bits of folklore, tips on living, and jokes. But running underneath it all is the ecstatic. Coleman Barks says Rumi's ecstasy was born of a terrible grief, the murder of his dearest friend and spiritual companion. Hearing of the murder, Rumi began circling a pole in his garden and speaking in poetry. That spinning marked the beginning of his great poetic work and the birth of the mystical dance performed today by whirling dervishes. Coleman Barks says Rumi's Sufi brand of Islam brought him to this all-embracing idea.
If you think there's an important difference between a Muslim and a Christian and a Jew, then you are making a division in yourself between your heart, what you love with, and how you act in the world. If you make those cultural and religious divisions, then you're making a division in yourself. It's a tremendously radical thing to say in the 13th century when he said it, and also now, too.
He was a mystic.
Yeah.
What exactly, though, did that mean for him? Because I gather he started out, you know, as a teacher in a long and very respected line
right.
of teachers
right.
and writers. He was
yeah.
from the intelligentsia of his day.
Very, very fine mind going on there, yeah. A mystic, I guess, is someone who knows for sure that we are swimming inside an unknowable mystery. They call it an ocean or a fire or a cloud. And that somehow that mystery, we're not only inside it, it is inside us. And the mystic is in awe of that. And the words are just helpless and hopelessly thrown at the mystery.
Recite us some of those words. Because in fact he worked with metaphor and he angled his way towards the truth.
Okay. There is some kiss we want with our whole lives. The touch of spirit on the body. Seawater begs the pearl to break its shell. And the lily, how passionately it needs some wild darling. At night, I open the window and ask the moon to come and press its face against mine. Breathe into me. Close the language door and open the love window. The moon won't use the door, only the window. There's some kiss we want with our whole lives. And doesn't every fiber in you just say, yes, that's true, there is some kiss we want. And that's that longing, he says, that cannot be, that is not sensual. It's some soul longing.
Did he ever in his life being... He was a Muslim, of course, but it was...
You keep wanting to make him go to church, don't you? Yeah. But he keeps breaking the mosque and the minaret and the school. He says when those are torn down, then dervishes can begin their community. So he wants to break out us all to break out of our conditioning, whether be it national or be it religious or be it gender-based.
Is there a particular poem or part of a poem that you'd want to read if you only just had one to read?
Okay, I'll read a part of this. What was said to the rose that made it open was said to me here in my chest. What was told the cypress that made it strong and straight? What was whispered the jasmine, so it is what it is? Whatever made sugarcane sweet, whatever was said to the inhabitants of the town of Chigil in Turkestan that makes them so handsome? Whatever lets the pomegranate flower blush like a human face, that is being said to me now. I blush. Whatever put eloquence in language, that's happening here. The great warehouse doors open. I fill with gratitude, chewing a piece of sugar cane, in love with the one to whom every that belongs. What was said to the rose that made it open was said to me here in my chest.
Mystics find out where they need to go suddenly.
The spontaneity is very important, that's right. There's a lot of slow growth in Rumi, too. He's very interested in that, but things happen suddenly, and you turn and go. It's both of them.
But just today, just, you know, this last few weeks, I think when one thinks of a sudden change, a before and an after, mm-hmm. and everything has changed, we think of it as a terrible story.
Uh-huh.
Is there something one can take away from him?
In grief a cleansing, a shredding. He says that's also a healing that makes us more alive. That's a terrible truth, but he does say it, that in grief somehow we get scoured down to the bare soul.
Coleman Barks' latest volume of translation is titled The Soul of Rumi. I'm Renee Montaigne, NPR News. Hear the poet's words on dying.
On the day I die, when I'm being carried toward the grave, don't weep. Don't say he's gone, he's gone. Death has nothing to do with going away. The sun sets and the moon sets, but they're not gone. Death is a coming together. The tomb looks like a prison, but it's really release into union. The human seed goes down in the ground like a bucket into the well where Joseph is. It grows and comes up full of some unimagined beauty. Your mouth closes here and immediately opens with a shout of joy there.
There's more on Coleman Barks and the poetry of Rumi on the website npr.org.